Well, happy spring break, everybody. Hope you got big plans or plans to rest. And we get to start the whole thing with losing an hour of sleep last night. So that's, we can just face it. Excited and well rested. But the trees are blooming. The allergies have kicked in. But I'm glad you're here. You made me nervous this morning. Sonny and I were here alone for about 10 minutes this morning. I was like, this is not normal. Usually people get here quicker. So I'm glad your phones or your watches or whatever were set accordingly. I'm glad you made it today. All right, it's another good time with the names that God reveals to us in His Scripture. And I'm really digging on the one today. It's kind of different, and I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it, so I just pray that it will be a blessing to you as well. Let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll try to better understand. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending your Son. We thank you, Father, that He died for our sins. We thank you, Father, for giving us a high priest that really understands. We thank you, Father, for showing us what it looks like to be true to you and to be faithful to you. And I pray, Lord, that we will keep our eyes and our minds and our hearts focused on you. I pray that we will follow in the steps of Jesus and be found faithful. Father, as we study your word today, our only desire is to better understand you so that we may better praise and worship you, that we may better honor you with our lives. Father, we thank you. We thank you for making us and for revealing yourself to us. We thank you for bringing us to your throne of glory. We thank you for allowing us to find mercy. And we thank you, Father, for filling us with your Spirit. Lord, I just ask that you be with everybody on spring break this week. Be with our teachers and our kids that have a little break. I just pray that you bless their time, watch over them and keep them safe. Father, be with our young people that are on mission trips this week. Bless them. Bless them as their faith grows, as they learn to trust you and to share the good news with the lost. And please keep them safe. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer. And we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 95. Today's name, Yahweh, YHWH, Haseno. Haseno. Here's the English, here's the way to spell it in English. H-O-S-E-E-N-U. Ha-si-nu. It depends on, you know, which person you Google to see the pronunciation. Haseno, Yahweh Haseno, God our Maker. God our Maker. That's what we're going to take a look at today. Now, this is an interesting idea. And like I said, this one hit me different. The Lord our Maker. Now, when you think of Maker, what we need to keep in mind that this is not the God who created everything, who there was nothing, he spoke, then there's stuff. That's not what Haseno is. Haseno, it's a tough one for me to say, the Lord our Maker. Maker, you need to think more of the relationship between potter and clay. Maker is the one who forms. So the focus of this name of God is not the fact that he has the power to just say, and something that wasn't there is now there. He does have that power, but that's not what this name points to. This name points to God taking something, the stuff that's already there, and making and shaping and forming it into something useful. Okay? So that's the name that we're going to try to capture this morning and better understand. Psalm 95. And you'll find it in verse 6. It's kind of right in the middle. This title for God. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Right there at the end of verse 6. Yahweh Hasinu. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah and as on the day at Massah in the wilderness when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof. Though they had seen my work, for 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. All right, so Psalm 95, verse 6. This is the only time in the Old Testament that those two words, Yahweh Hasinu, are put together. The Lord, our Maker. And the psalmist, the psalmist sings, and if you caught that, the before and after, he speaks of creation itself in the first part. So he says God has formed things in creation, thus they are his. The mountain, I mean, show of hands, who was singing the song in their mind? So with the mountain peaks belong to him, the sea is his. He made it. He made it. He formed these things. So in creation itself, he did speak all things into existence, but in creation, he took the time to form and shape and make it just right. So the first half of the psalm, he talks about forming creation, and then we get his name in verse 6, and then after that, he talks about forming his people. Okay? So we get creation, and then we get his people, which, when you go back to the creation story, what is the height of the creation story? It is people. It is people. And so we get this idea that God makes the things that he makes the environment that we live in, but he also makes us. He also makes us. And as maker, as Hasinu, this implies ownership. This implies ownership. And so this is the idea we're going to see. Now, this really became an important, as I was studying this week, this became an important name of God to understand, because the enemy attacks the world, believers and unbelievers alike, in two very specific ways that we are seeing just running rampant. And that's why this name, God our Maker, is so powerful and important and being lost. Number one, with creation. The enemy has got everybody believing in all sorts of different theories about creation and where things come from and how they're formed and how they come about, and even attributing their own power to change themselves, right? I mean, that's what evolution is. You're adapting to your environment. That because of the things around you, you have figured out how to, I mean, it is literally the beginning of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, right? When things who swam, then, oh, hey, there's land, so let's just change ourselves and let's go do that, right? And so that's what the enemy uses. The enemy uses, well, it's all just chance. From the very beginning, there was a snap, a bang, a boom, a whatever, a blip. And then there it all is. And then it all just figured it out along the way. And of course, this process took millions and billions and gazillions and trillions. And it's all, it's also big and overwhelming on purpose. That's the enemy's way to fog our eyes and our minds and go, well, who can even understand things that come before us because it's all just so big and out there, right? Now look, where else is the enemy threatening and winning? It's with people. I mean, the two biggest things that are going on right now, abortion and transgenderism, the enemy is saying, trying to define how and when you were formed by your maker. So Hesenu, this name of God, hit very powerfully in my heart this week because I believe that this is where the enemy is striking. This is where the enemy is striking and saying, if I can get them to forget their maker, then I got them. Back in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to take a look at these two ideas, creation and, of course, people, creation and conception. Creation and conception. The world is an accident versus God made the world, or you are an accident, and when you exist and when you began is here or here or here or here, and how you were formed, well, it was just an accident or a free choice, right? Or even a mistake. That is in direct violation against Yahweh Hesenu. You were made wrong. That's the world's religion now. You were made wrong. And you're free to remake. You're free to reform. And whose image are you going to do that in? Well, whatever image you choose. Choose an image. Pick one. All right? You guys know what I'm putting down, right? It's all over. This is what the enemy is doing today. And so when God comes along and says, I am Yahweh Hesenu, I am the Lord your maker, then be certain of what I have made. Now, it's interesting here. Let's go back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, you guys know this one, right? I don't know if there's a song. Is there a song? There is? Okay. You singing that one? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. This is not Hesenu. Hesenu. This is not that word. In fact, the first time we get this word is down in verse 7. So at the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, this is creation. This is, there was nothing. God said, there's everything. But when he said it, when he created it, when he made it out of nothing, it was without form. Now here comes in verse 7, and we'll start in verse 6. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse. I've seen you. He formed it. The stuff's there, but it was without form. So when he created things, he just said, here's the stuff I'm going to use to make everything. And now in verse 7, we get the original use, or the original time that this word shows up in the Hebrew. Now he's going to start making. He's making and forming. He's forming the dry land. And before he even forms the dry land, what does he do? He makes the expanse. He makes the expanse. He separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. All right. So, we get that God created the heavens, but then he puts his own stamp and he creates and he forms. He forms what was, what was without form. Then if you'll go forward in Genesis chapter 1, go down to verse 26, we see this word again. And in verse 26, God says, let us make form God, let us form man in our image, after our likeness. All right, so he makes man, he makes him male and female, and he is forming them. Yes, did he bring Adam out of the dirt? Yes, that was his creation. That was his creation. But he formed him. He put him together. He put him together. And it is so important to see God as the one who made us, because this gives us such a connection to our Maker. This gives us a connection because he was thoughtful enough and intricate enough and delicate enough to reach down and proclaim above everything, you are not an accident. You are not just some happenstance crash of atoms or building blocks or whatever. God says, I formed you. He is intimate in us being here. He's involved in the process, just as in creation when it all begins. God's not going to just leave it to happenstance and say, there it is. Whatever will be, will be. No. He says, I'm going to have a hand in this. I'm going to lead and I'm going to direct it, and I'm just going to be gentle where I need to be gentle. I'm going to be strong and tough where I need to be strong and tough, and I'm going to make. So, he makes man in his image, and now let's go back to Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. So we see creation. We see him making in creation, forming rather than creating. And then let's go to Psalm 139. And then he's going to talk about us as people. So just like we got in the original Psalm, Psalm 139, God's forming plays a role in creation and then also his people. Psalm 139, I'm going to start it in verse 13. Now, as we read this, I just want you to think about the intimate nature that your Maker has with you. Okay? 139:13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. So the psalmist sings and cries out to God and says, before I even was, you had record of me. And before I could even be thought of as born or existing or human, you were forming me. You were putting me together. Yes, even in my mother's womb, you were working to put all the parts together. And the conclusion, and it comes at the beginning, but the conclusion of God's forming us is the same you, is I am beautifully and wonderfully made. That when I recognize and see all the thought you put into making me. And if we can appreciate this, because if you know anything about medicine or if you've ever had to deal with anything inside your body, you realize what a complicated, messy, wonderful, beautiful thing that it all just goes together, right? I mean, it's when you get up, and any day that you can get up and go, wow, all this is working together. That's an amazing day. All the things that have to go right for me to even speak to you, for me to even walk from, to take a few steps and walk from one side of this room to the other. All the things that we just take for granted that have just been wonderfully and fearfully made together just perfectly. Now, if you've ever had any part that doesn't work right, you know what I'm talking about, right? When one of the parts is not functioning as it should, then we can appreciate it. And we go, oh, I know what that was supposed to do. I know what that's supposed to sound like or look like. Or, boy, you know, I used to be able to jump and reach that height. Or I used to remember all those names or those list of things, but now I just can't recall them as I could. Or, I could follow along with Oren. I could go another hour. But now, that voice just isn't as strong as it used to be, right? So we know when things don't work properly. We recognize that. But here the psalmist says, God, you work so well to put me all perfectly together. And I just appreciate that, and I praise you for that. Now, that is the attitude we're supposed to have. Let's turn over to Isaiah 29. In Isaiah 29, and we're just going to take a look at, Isaiah hits it three times here. Isaiah 29, and God is going to say, look, one of the main problems that people have is when they do not appreciate their maker. That this is so important, because when you rebel against your maker, when you don't appreciate what your maker has done for you, in you, and to you, then that creates a major problem. That creates a major problem. So we're going to look at three things here in Isaiah. Isaiah 29, 16. You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made, the sinew, should say to its maker, he didn't make me? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? That is rebellion against God. To look at the one who made us, who formed us, and say, he doesn't have a clue. I know better. That is rebellion against God. Now, we're saying Isaiah, but take a look at Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. These are just kind of three real quick shots. Isaiah 51, let's go down to 12. Isaiah 51, 12. We'll find the Hasenu in 13. Isaiah 51, 12 says, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that are afraid of man who dies, or the son of man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy? And where is the wrath of the oppressor? He who is bowed shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. God says, look, you've forgotten me. You're afraid of other people. What are they? What are they? You've forgotten your maker. It is a dangerous thing to forget that you are made. It is pure rebellion. It is pure rebellion to forget that we have been made by God. And when we forget that we are made by God, we forget that we belong to God. And when we forget that we belong to God, we start to fear mere mortals. We fear man. We fear what other people can do to us. Church, we belong to God. He made us. He loves us. He cares for us. He protects us. He watches over us. He has not left us alone. And finally, the third one, go to chapter 54. Isaiah 54. 54 verse 4. Isaiah 54, 4. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. Verse 5, here's the word. For your maker, the one who formed you, is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife, deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger, for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. So God says, I am the one who made you. I love you. I will look after you. I will protect you. How can you possibly forget this? Well, we forget this when we forget Yahweh Hosseinu, the Lord, our Maker. Because being made carries with it a level of ownership and care and comfort that only God can provide. We can't kick against that. We can't fight against that. It's a fight that will not be won. All right, now, take it back to Genesis chapter 1. Take it back to Genesis chapter 1. We see how serious this name is and what all the implications that it carries with it. But back in Genesis chapter 1, we are going to see that as made, you and I are made by God, the things made by God carry with them a purpose, a reason, a reason. How do you pronounce that raison de, help me out. That one. Yeah, that one. Is that how you say it? The raison d'etre, d'etre. No? It means the reason to be, the reason to exist. It's French. Sorry, I shouldn't have. I apologize. I shouldn't be speaking in tongues without an interpretation. I apologize. Yeah, the reason to be, the reason to exist, right? In Genesis chapter 1, the things formed by God, you and I, creation, we are given a reason. And so he says to Adam and Eve, look, I didn't just, you know, I wasn't just bored. I wasn't just sitting up here going, I wonder what I can do today. No, I made you for a reason, for a purpose. Let's go down to verse 20. We'll go back to 26. Then God said, we read this one before, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now you're starting to see God's story? He's the one doing the forming. He is the one making things as it should be. And a rebellious, sinful world has said, no thanks, God. I'm the maker here. I will form and cut and shape however I want to be. A dangerous place. Dangerous place to be. Now look at verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said to them, he says, all right, look, as something that is made, you have a purpose. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God says your purpose, fruitful, multiply, subdue, rule. Sounds a lot like abundance, right? Sounds a lot like abundance. And what did they do? They didn't trust their maker. They didn't trust their maker. They said, no. Our maker is withholding from us. See, there's something good, and it's not made available to us. We got to have that. The original sin. God said, there's a boundary. There's a line. You stay within on this side of it. And they said, no. We want to be like you, God, and we'll be like you in our own ways. This is for you. Genesis chapter 11. You familiar with the story in 11? Genesis 11. What's going on in 11? Babel, right? Genesis chapter 11. Just a real quick, okay? Hussein. Genesis chapter 11. Then they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Let us be the ones who form. Let us be the ones who build up. And the Lord said in verse 6, behold, they are one people. They will have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Make. Hasenu. Same word. Same word. Okay? So, a little insight. You can dig into that later. All right. So, we have a purpose as the things that God has made. We're in a lot of Genesis. We're in a lot of Old Covenant stuff. So, what about us? What does it do with us? All right. Let's go to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because we like to be brought into the story. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 connects us with being made by using this analogy of, in Jesus Christ we are a new creation. That's right. We are a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, go down to verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5, 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no more. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All right, so Paul says, look, we have been remade. We have been remade through the love and the mercy and the sacrifice and the grace of Jesus Christ. And because we have been remade, made into something new, that we are now able to be reconciled to our Maker. We are able to be reconnected. We are able to be one. Once again, at peace. So Paul says the message that we have is reconciliation. We are calling humanity, creatures, creation, back to our Maker. We are called back to the one who formed us. And so a denial of creation, a denial of being formed, all of it is just how the enemy gets the world to go, well, I'm just free from all that. You can have your religion, that's fine. You can believe this, you can believe that, you can worship this, that's fine. And church, it shouldn't surprise us when other beliefs and other strange things are allowed to be promoted in this world, and Christianity is still seen as, no, that's a little too dangerous. Let's not speak the name of Jesus here. Church in Jesus Christ, and some amazing news. Because we've been reconciled to God, we have been made new. We have been made new. I mean, we read back in Isaiah to deny the fact that we have a maker, to deny the fact that God has made us. Well, that's why there are eternal consequences for denying the remaking, the reforming, the reshaping that is done in our lives through Jesus Christ. That's what God does for us. We are new creation. He has remade us in Jesus. He has taken us, and think about the you that was you when you came to Christ. Mess, full of sin, full of darkness, lost, dead, wayward. I mean, just without a sail, without a rudder, without a purpose, without a direction. All of these bad things, and we come to Christ, and God says, I can make something out of you. That's a blessing. And that's what we enjoy in Jesus Christ, that He has remade us in Christ. And He has remade us into the image of His Son, the perfect image, the perfect reflection of our Maker. We'll close it up with Mark's reading of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I know it's a lot to chew on, but it's a big name. And the better we understand it, the better we see how all these things are connected, the more we are going to appreciate what God has done for us, and the more we are going to hold on to the faith that He has put in our hearts. Because I do not want us to be caught questioning our Maker. Romans chapter 8, Mark read for us 18 through 25. And again, Paul brings these two things that we saw way back at the beginning. Remember Psalm 95? Creation and the pinnacle of God's creation, people. And so Paul takes those two ideas, keeps them together, and he says creation is waiting for that day, the return of Jesus, so that everything can be made right. And so creation itself is just, because of sin, we know this is not what it looks like. I mean, I live in the middle of, cowland and CRP and cotton. And I go in the backyard. Sonny and I just go in the backyard. We got a big dead tree in the yard. And it's just, and some people would just come to our place and go, ugh. I mean, we look at it and go, yeah, we love it. But a lot of people, I mean, think about it. When they come to West Texas and go, ugh, this is not Eden, right? I mean, creation itself just knows, this isn't it. This isn't it. This isn't my final form. Just like you and I know. You and I know, this isn't it. This isn't my final form. We are waiting for our Savior to return. And so Paul says, chapter 8, verse 19, creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for creation was subjected to futility. Not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Creation itself wants to be set free. Creation itself looks around and says, this isn't right. This can't be. This is not Eden. And creation itself, what was made by God's own hands, looks at us and says, we can't wait until we are set free like them. That's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing to be made by God. So I'll leave you with this, church. We were made in God's image. We were made new in Christ Jesus, and we were made for the redemption of our bodies and as adoption and children. So what do we do as those who know and recognize and praise and worship Yahweh Hosseinu, the Lord, our Maker? We conform to the image of our Maker that we have seen in Jesus Christ. Church, I encourage you to allow God to make you what you're going to be for all eternity. Allow God to make you, to form you into what you're going to be for all eternity. It starts with Jesus. So this morning, if you're not a Christian and you need to start with Jesus, He invites you to come. If you need to repent of your sins, if you need to be baptized into His name to become new creation, to be remade into His image, we invite you to do so.